How many of you are looking forward to that day? That deserves a couple of shouts of amen. Amen. You turn over in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, very familiar passage to start with this evening. I love the book of Philippians. I've preached through it with the teenagers in the past, I think a couple of times now. Taught it in Sunday school, and I come back to it on a regular basis, even when it's not scheduled for my daily Bible reading. I find myself reading through the book of Philippians on a regular basis, and as you know, the theme is joy and rejoicing throughout, and there are just so many marvelous things about every book of the Word of God, but especially the book of Philippians I enjoy. If you look in chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, and verses 13 and 14, as I said, very familiar passage, Paul says here, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Pressing toward the mark, that's our theme this evening. I've simply entitled the sermon, Pressing Forward. Pressing Forward. And no matter what may be going on, no matter what has happened in the past, no matter what may be happening in the present, I know the Lord expects us to be pressing forward for the cause of Christ. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the outline this evening. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the good news concerning baby Willard and his safe birth today. We could pray that you'll continue to be with mom and son as well and the whole family at this time. We pray for others that are going through different physical trials. Pray that you'll meet each need there. And now, Lord, as we center our thoughts on your word and pressing forward, I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words that you would have me to say, and only those words as I preach this evening. Help us to learn from your word what you would have for us tonight. Help our hearts to be open to your Holy Spirit's leading. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. You turn over to Acts chapter 16. I know just had you in Philippians, but we'll turn a few times this evening. You would turn to Acts chapter 16, talking about pressing forward for the cause of Christ this evening. And first, I want us to notice that we need to press forward even when we don't know which way to go. Press forward when you don't know which way to go. We have the example of Paul and Silas here in Acts chapter 16. And if you'll look down to verse 6, it says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." In two verses there, we have a similar wording a couple of different times. They wanted to go to the region of Galatia, but it says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And then in verse 7, they wanted to go to Mysia and to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Twice we're told that they were heading in a certain direction, Paul and Silas were, and Timothy as well, but the Holy Spirit would not allow them to continue that direction. At any point, Paul could have thrown up his hands and said, "Well, Lord, I'm trying to do your work here. I'm trying to go and preach in these different cities and encourage churches there, but you won't let me go." Of course, Paul didn't do that, at least as far as we know from Scripture. He just kept pressing forward. We know what Paul's attitude was in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul is saying, it's not about me anymore. It is about the Lord and his works. It doesn't matter if I'm confused about this thing, if I'm inconvenienced, it's all about Christ living in me. I'll let him guide, and I'll just keep pressing forward. I'll just keep going, doing what I know is right, and go as far as I can and wait for the Lord to open that next door. You know, we tend to want a map or a blueprint out there. One of my children, I won't say which one, wants everything to be laid out
and plans to be made. And in fact, if they're not made, if they're not clear, then she wants me to make them for her. I guess I gave it away. It's not my son. It's one of the daughters. But that narrows it down to three at least. But we have children like that. Sometimes we're like that. We want God to just show us everything. But He wants us to step out by faith sometimes. And He wants us to just take the little bit that we know and go with that. And then He'll open another door. And then He'll open another door. Think about Abraham. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out. Notice this last phrase. Not knowing whither he went. That's hard to do, isn't it? Not knowing where exactly the Lord wants you to go, but knowing He's leading and just following as far as He will take you. If you look back, keep your finger there maybe in Acts chapter 16, but turn back to the Old Testament in Job 23. Job 23. I'll get there in a moment. Job 23 and verse 8. Job here kept moving even though it seemed, as he says, he couldn't find God. You look there at verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but He is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand that I cannot see Him. Job said, it seems like I can't find God anywhere. But notice what he says in verse 10. In fact, part of this was in the song we sang earlier about God makes no mistakes. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Job didn't know exactly where God was going with things. You know the story of what happened to him, all the destruction, all of the trial that he went through, all of the losses. But God knew where Job was at every step, and Job took confidence in that fact, took comfort in the fact that he knew God had a plan. He didn't understand what it was, but he knew God had a plan, and when he was finished, Job would be the better man for it. Several years ago, I guess it's been about 10 or 11 years ago, our niece had a little girl, and she was born without part of her heart and spent several months in the hospital before she passed away. She did not live too long. And there were several times along the way where Gracie almost passed away but survived. And at the time, our niece and her husband had a blog, had a website for her. And one of the things that they wrote at one point was a day when she almost passed away but survived. And they put in their blog, talk about not knowing which way to turn. We want to take a moment to share our burden. We are praying every minute that one day we can dress Gracie up. Maybe I'm not going to share this illustration. In a beautiful gown and bring her home. Then every wonderful friend and family member that checks this site and prays for us can hold little Gracie and praise the Lord. We want everyone to hold her, to see her, and love her as we glorify God for bringing her through this. Still, if God were to take Gracie home to Him, we are burdened that some of the people who check up on her here will not see her at that home. We are heartsick to think of that. If there is any doubt in your mind that you don't know the Lord as your Savior and have salvation for eternity, please make it right. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a waste for someone to love Gracie here and check up on her daily on her website, but then to die lost and never see her again. For us, seeing our baby girl's body come so close to death again today reminds us of how short life is. What a blessing to know that the part that is eternal can be safe in the Lord. If tragedies such as this can convict hearts that are lost, then the pain of little Gracie is not in vain. There's a great practical application there of pressing forward when you don't know which way to turn. Using those trials in our lives even to be a witness to others. Even when we don't know exactly what God's direction is, we need to press forward. Do everything we know to do according to the Word of God. And there are many, many things that are specifically mentioned that are the will of God. We know we are to be praying, folks. We are to be reading and studying. We know we're to be in church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We know that we're to be witnessing. And there are a number of different things that we could list tonight. Do everything we know to do according to the Word of God and let God open and close doors where He sees fit. By the way, I don't assume anything. As I look around this crowd, I probably have heard a profession of faith from everybody here, but if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can't really press forward. The Bible says, "The natural or unsaved man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." You can't have spiritual direction from God until you accept His Son as your Savior. But the moment we do, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts and guides us through the rest of our lives. So if you're in that condition this evening, pressing forward really means turning your life over to God, admitting you're a sinner, accepting the work of Christ on the cross where He died for your sin, asking Him to be your Savior. For us Christians, we already have that settled, but there may be some things in our lives that are unsettled right now. God wants you to press forward even when you don't know which way to go. And in His perfect time, His perfect will, His perfect plan, He'll give us that direction. So press forward even when you don't know which way to go. Secondly, this evening, press forward when you know which way to go. That seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? Look back again in Acts chapter 16. We read verses 6 and 7 where it talked about Paul and Silas and Timothy wanting to go a certain way, but God closing those doors. But then, look down at verse 8. It says, "And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis." So press forward when you know which way to go. Note that Paul and Silas here jump right in when clear direction was given from the Lord. Sometimes we know exactly what the Lord wants us to do, and yet we fail to press forward in that direction. I think I've shared this illustration before, but I'll share it again. A man fell off a cliff one time, but managed to grab onto a tree limb on the way down, and he was just hanging there. And this conversation ensued. He said, "Is anyone up there?" And he heard this voice coming down from the heavens, "I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me?" And he yelled back up, "Yes, Lord, I really believe, but I can't hang on to this branch much longer." The Lord responded, "That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch." There was a moment of silence. The man yelled back up, "Anyone else up there?" That's the way we are sometimes. We know what the Lord's will is, but we want an alternative to His will. God's not seeking for people that want alternatives to His will. He is seeking people who want to do His will. Our Bible is filled with examples of men who knew the right way to go, the right thing to do, but maybe were scared to do it. Think about Gideon. It took a little convincing to get him to act. There are others who just rebelled against God's will. Think of Achan and Saul, King Saul and Lot. Or think of Jonah. He came to the point that he would have rather have died than to press forward in God's will. A lot of us in Paul's situation would have just sat down and said, "Oh, well, Lord, if you're not going to leave me, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing." And that's what we do sometimes. But Paul's attitude was not like that. In fact, one Bible commentator said, Paul was already active trying to preach. He was not waiting idly at home hoping to receive a call. The Holy Spirit, in some very clear way, closed the first two doors, but then opened another by this special vision. If Paul had been redirected to Philippi, would Christianity remain primarily an Asian religion? God had other purposes. He wanted to spread the word of God even farther. Paul's attitude, again, we talked about it in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, that he's not living for himself. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 comes to mind as well. Of course, our theme for the year for our church is looking unto Jesus. And Paul says there, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so when we know where the Lord is leading, we need to press forward. The Lord expects our obedience. Notice verses 10 and 11, how they obeyed. It says, first of all, after they'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. They didn't wait. Right away, they obeyed the word of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 60 says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. They also obeyed wholeheartedly. You see the word endeavored. We endeavored to go into Macedonia. That word endeavored means that they did it with a great deal of effort and sacrifice and expense and physical zeal. They obeyed without wavering. In verse 11, it says they came with a straight course. Once God showed them where they were to go, they didn't stop off here or there on the way, but they went straight where He had called them to go. The teens have heard me use this saying over and over and over again over the years. Get tired of it, I guess, but I always go back to a quote by Rand Hummel, the director of the Wiles of New England. When we're to obey quickly, sweetly, and completely. Teenagers should have been saying that with me. Quickly, sweetly, and completely. Right away. Just like we should obey our parents. Amen, parents? Amen, teens? That's kind of weak there. Quickly, right away. Not delayed. The delayed obedience is disobedience. Quickly, sweetly, with the right attitude, and completely. Not a halfway job, but completing the job for the Lord. John R. Rice said, we spend too much time trying to get God to put His approval and blessing on our plans. How much better if we would make sure that we know and follow His plans. Many times we're that way. We want God to approve our plan of action when He wants us to act on His plan of action. Again, Philippians 3, 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It might take some courage at times. It may mean going against what we would want. It may mean doing something we don't want to do or not doing something that we do want to do. But God wants us to press forward when we don't know which way to go or when we do know which way to go. Keep pressing forward. So we've looked at 2 points so far. Press forward when we don't know where to go, which way to go. Press forward when we do, what could be left? Well, turn with me back to the book of Exodus, if you will. Exodus chapter 14. And one final point this evening. Press forward when it seems there's nowhere to go. Exodus chapter 14. Here we have the story of the children of Israel escaping Egypt, only to be chased down by Pharaoh's army. And let's look. We won't read all of the verses here. Chapter 14 for sake of time, but let's look at a few of the verses here, starting with verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them in camping by the sea. We'll skip the next couple of names there so I don't have to pronounce those. In verse 10, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Then skip down to verse 13. Moses says to the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you to you today, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Then if you skip over to verse 21, of course we know the The Egyptians are closing in. The angel of the Lord comes between them, and the cloud and darkness there to prevent the Egyptians from finding them too quickly. In verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And so they come to the Red Sea and are able to pass over on dry ground. And we know the Egyptians pursued them, and we know what happened to them. In verse 27, Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And then down in verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. To press forward when it seems there's nowhere to go. The Israelites were afraid. They cried out to the Lord. And we know the Lord hears that cry. Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. John Wesley said about this passage, they were sore afraid. They knew the strength of the enemy and their own weakness. Numerous indeed they were, but all on foot, unarmed, undisciplined, dispirited by long servitude, and now pent up so that they could not escape. Excuse me. On one hand was a range of craggy rocks, unpassable. On the other hand were forts upon the frontiers of Egypt. Before them was the sea. Behind them were the Egyptians, so that there was no way open for them but upwards. And from thence their deliverance came. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The story is told of Adoniram Judson in Burma. He was lying in a foul prison with 32 pounds of chains on his ankles, his feet bound to a bamboo pole. And one of the fellow prisoners mockingly said to him, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen now? And though in great pain, Judson's instant reply was, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. We can press forward even when it seems there's nowhere to go. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul talks about some of the trials that he went through. We know a list of the different things that happened to him over the time of his ministry. But look how he sums this up in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. He says there, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Sometimes we wonder about why these things happen. But not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul said things are happening that we don't understand. Trials come our way. But we see a reason there in verse 10 that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body so that Jesus will be seen through us in the midst of our trials. Going back to Adoniram Judson, after he was finally released and healed, Judson led many more Burmese people to the Lord. I think it was that attitude of pressing forward no matter what the situation was going to be. Whether he knew what was going to happen or it seemed there was nowhere to go, I'm sure, in that jail in Burma. When it seems there's nowhere to turn, God still has a purpose. Thinking about the Israelites again, we see they were afraid and their fear turns to complaint. You ever come to the point where you say, why did you leave me here, Lord? Seems to be no way out, no way that I can see, nowhere to go. Of course, we read that verse 13, where Moses says to them, don't fear, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." It's in our weakness that God shows Himself strong. Isn't that what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12:9, when he's praying for this thorn in the flesh to be removed, and he knows, he gets the answer that, "No, I'm not going to remove that." And he said unto me, the Lord said unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So God wants us to press forward even when it seems there's nowhere to go. He's the God of the impossible, after all. George Mueller knew that. He said, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends." God wants us to press forward when we don't know which way to go. He wants us to press forward when we do know which way to go and follow His leading. And He even wants us to press forward when it seems there's nowhere to go. So what's holding us back? Is there a trial that's weighed down heavy on us? Is there bitterness over some incident? Is there a lack of faith or a lack of love for our Savior, a lack of love for our fellow man? God wants us to press forward as a church. God wants us to press forward as individuals. I don't know exactly what God will do through us. I don't know His timetable, but I know that He wants us to press forward. What about you as an individual? Are you pressing forward in your service for the Lord, or are you at a standstill right now? Let's press on for the cause of Christ. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening. Simple message this evening. I believe the Lord makes it clear that He just wants us to press forward for the cause of Christ. We have an invitation time this evening. If there's some matter that you need to come and pray about at the altar is open. Maybe you need to say, "Lord, help me to press forward. Forgive me, Lord, for standing still, not doing what I knew to do while I wait for You to open or close the next door." The altar will be open for a time of invitation this evening. Father, we thank You for this reminder from the Apostle Paul to press forward, for these reminders in his own life of that with the practical application on this mission journey, as You opened the doors and closed the doors, as You would have directed, had directed them. We see it even in the lives of the Israelites, Lord, where it seemed there was nowhere to go. They could still press forward, confident that You would provide a way. Lord, help us to have that same faith in our lives today. Bless now in this short time of invitation. In Christ's name we ask. You stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Again, the altar is open if you need to do business with the Lord this evening.